الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الغضب ليفسد الإيمان سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Last week I spoke about the fact that our emotions are actually tests for us. We see our emotions as being something natural within us. And it's true that they arise naturally and that they often arise in response to circumstance. But actually those emotions are a test for us. For example, there have been many deaths within the community recently. And those are a test for the individuals involved. Obviously, when someone passes away, there's going to be sadness. No one ever said that when someone passes away, you shouldn't be sad. The issue is how you handle that sadness. You can handle that sadness by complaining about the situation, by overly mourning and weeping about the situation. Or you can take that sadness, which is actually a type of energy, right? It's a potential energy. And you can convert that into an energy to change yourself, or an energy to reflect upon yourself, or an energy to make dua for the person that passed away. So these emotions that arise within us, they have purpose. And they provide benefit for the person who controls them and uses them in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to do so. In particular, last week we spoke about anger. And we talked about the good aspect of anger, and we talked about the negative aspects of anger. And I think that the way we should reflect on anger, if you want to think about an example of how you should think about anger, anger, or the example of anger, is like a person who is a welder. I don't know if you've seen these people who use welders, who are welders, but they have this machine that provides very intense heat. And they use that machine in a very particular way in order to melt metal at a very high temperature. And as soon as they achieve that proper temperature, they put the pieces together, they seal it, and then they remove the heat from that metal. That's the way the welder works. Now, that welding gun that they use is a very powerful instrument. It has the ability to stick metal together and seal it. It uses heat in order to do so. But if you don't provide enough heat, then the metal doesn't stick. And at the same time, if you overheat, you can not only damage the metal, but you can actually damage the welding gun itself. So this is the exact same situation, or this is the exact example of anger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created within us this emotion called anger. And in certain circumstances, we tend to get angry. Now, we have to then recognize how to handle that anger and to recognize the potential detriments of that anger. The general principle concerning anger, the overall general summary of anger, is in the hadith that I stated at the beginning of the talk. إِنَّ الْغَضَبَ لَيُفْسِدُ الْإِيمَانِ. That's the general principle. That anger, it destroys iman. And that's because anger is a type of heat. It's a very powerful welding gun. And if an individual doesn't control their anger, it's like overheating with that gun. You're going to melt the metal around you, and you're going to melt the gun itself. You're going to damage the gun itself. So when a person has anger in their heart, and they don't handle it properly, what ends up happening is that heat from that energy, that anger that's within them, it destroys relationships around them. They fight with their spouse, they fight with their parents, they fight with their brothers, they fight with their sisters, they fight with their friends. And it destroys the person inside. They're screaming to release the anger, and all that happens is the anger grows. The heat comes right back in their face. And that's actually the danger of anger. إِنَّ الْغَضَبَ la yufsidu al-iman. That verily anger, it destroys iman. Anyway, last week I detailed many different examples of what causes anger and the detriments of anger, etc. This week I thought that why not talk about what the cures for anger are? Because obviously these are diseases, right? They exist in everyone. So what's the benefit of talking about the disease if you don't talk about the cure? Now, the first thing you should recognize is that the person who has tendency in any emotion, that tendency will remain a trial for them for the rest of their life. So it's not that there's somebody who gets angry and all of a sudden they begin to progress on the path of the deen and that anger disappears. The person who has that type of energy will always have that type of energy. For example, Hazrat Umar radiallahu an had a very particular type of energy. He was the one who came with the sword to finish Islam and to separate the Prophet's head, na'udhu billah, from his shoulder. That was his goal. That was the energy with which he approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just moments before his conversion. And yet, that same energy, once he converted, was then put into such motion that when it came to standing in front of the Kaaba and saying, look, I believe in Allah and His Messenger, do anything you want, no one would go near him. Right? So this was the character, this was the nature of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And actually, this is the one thing that we often misunderstand. We think that, okay, if I have a problem with anger, then when I become more righteous, when I do more dhikr, the anger should just go away. That never happens. That anger will always remain. That energy will always remain. But you'll have to learn to balance that energy. You'll have to learn to apply that energy in its proper sphere. That's the only difference. Now, here's the way that you should think about anger. Everybody has a little flame in their heart called anger. Okay, some people the flame is very, very ferocious. In other people, it's just a flicker. But everybody has it within their heart. Now, that flame, you have two options on how you deal with that flame. The one thing you can do is let that flame build, let it heat, let it produce more heat, let it produce more heat, let it produce more heat, and you have this sealed container called the heart in which it sits, and then all of a sudden, boom, randomly, it explodes. Right? Now what happens is when it explodes, it does a couple things. Number one, the energy of that heat goes on the person whomever the explosion occurs upon. That could be the child, and the person ends up beating their child, and they don't even understand what they're doing. Right? Or it can be the spouse, and the person begins to yell at their spouse and screaming in ways that they never even, you know, imagined human beings could do. Right? Or it could be their friends, etc. And we've talked about that. Now, what's unique is that the person thinks that the moment I release my anger, that my anger will go away. But anger is not that type of flame, because, see, anger lives in a vacuum called the heart. Now, you know that if you create a fire and you lock it within a vacuum, it'll eventually go away. But if you give it a little bit of air, that's when it will roar back. So what happens with anger is that it fills up the heart, fills up the heart, fills up the heart. The person releases it, and when they open their heart to release it, that air comes back in and just makes it worse. So what happens is the angry person, by thinking that they're going to release their anger, actually only becomes more angry. And then that becomes a cycle, right? They release their anger, they become more angry. They release their anger, they become more angry. And they walk around constantly angry. And they don't know what's wrong. I can't understand why I'm so angry all the time. So that is never the solution. It's not that, oh, if I just go and get one good beating or one good scream or one this, then okay, then all my anger will disappear. That doesn't work that way. Actually, it gets worse that way. So how does anger go away? Anger goes away in two different ways. The first is to extinguish it. The verse is to extinguish it. Now, what happens is when a person becomes angry, there is a lot of unrest in their heart. Actually, what happens is it starts out as an unrest, and then it builds up, builds up, builds up, and then they scream at someone, or they yell at someone, or they do something that they shouldn't do. Now, that unrest, the way to extinguish that unrest is actually through dhikr. And the vast majority of ulama, when they write about this topic, they state very clearly that the number one solution to anger is to do dhikr. Because Allah states in the Quran, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innal qulub. That verily, or alas, with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does the heart attain tranquility. So if an individual wants to attain tranquility within their heart, they need to do the dhikr of Allah. Now, some people think that, oh, when I get angry, that's the time to do the dhikr of Allah. Yes, that is the time to do the dhikr of Allah, but that is not the most beneficial time to do the dhikr of Allah. The person who knows that they have a problem with anger, they have to prophylactically do the dhikr of Allah, right? Now look, somebody knows that, I don't know, somebody doesn't have a spleen, okay? I mean, this is a medical thing. Somebody doesn't have a spleen, they're 3 years old or 4 years old, that means that they have an increased risk of developing infections with encapsulated organisms, okay? This is just a general medical principle. So what do? We give them vaccines against those organisms. There's certain bacteria that they have an increased risk of developing infections with, so we vaccinate them prophylactically. We don't wait and say, okay, when this person gets infected, then we'll treat them with antibiotics. We give them the vaccine so they don't get the infection to begin with. Same thing with anger. The time to, you know, once you're exploding and your face is red, that's not the time to sit down and say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That, I mean, it's true. That is the time to say it, but that's not the best time to say it. It will benefit you, actually, and it is something that you should say at that time. But the time to actually control the anger is before it even grows. Because it's like a fire, you know, it starts with a spark. And once the fire catches, then that's where the problem lies. So we have to remember one thing, and that is that if there's anger within us or if there's unrest within us, the time to cure that and the time to extinguish that is by regularly engaging in dhikr. Regularly engaging in dhikr. Now, don't think that if I leave my dhikr, then I'm going to become more productive, then I won't become angry. That's a deception of shaitan. For example, people have a regimen of dhikr, right? So they say that, okay, today I have a test, so today I'm not going to do my 20 minutes of dhikr, right? So then what happens is they don't do their 20 minutes of dhikr, so they lose the barakah in the day. So whereas they thought that they would be more productive by cutting out the time of the dhikr, they actually become much less productive because the dhikr was actually creating barakah in the time that they had. So once a person recognizes that they have this anger problem, the next thing to do is then to regularly always take your medicine. Every day take your medicine. Don't wait for the heart attack. Every day take your medicine so that your blood pressure stays low. And that medicine is the dhikr of Allah. Whether it be doing dhikr, reading Quran after the fajr prayer, whether it be sitting in muraqabah, etc., that is the way by which you extinguish that fire. And in particular, in muraqabah is a very beneficial type of dhikr for this. I've heard many people come to my teacher, Shaykh Zulfiqar, and ask him, I have a problem with anger, what should I do? And he'll say, more muraqabah. They'll say, oh, I do an hour muraqabah, more muraqabah. It's very beneficial for anger, very beneficial for anger. So that's the first way. That's the first way by which we treat our anger. Now, the second way by which we treat our anger actually also ties into the dhikr of Allah, but it's an indirect effect of the dhikr of Allah. And the second way by which we treat our anger is more of a sort of release valve, that once the anger builds up, then there's an attitude that we should take within our mind. And that attitude actually is based on another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states the following, مَنْ كَفَّ غَضَبَهُ كَفَّ اللَّهُ أَنْهُ أَذَابَهُ. Whoever withholds his anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will withhold his punishment from that person. Okay, so do you understand the relationship being established by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? A person's angry. They're about to explode on someone. They're about to do something that they're going to regret. If that person, in the heat of that moment, holds back their anger, right, withholds their anger from that individual and allows it to just internally dissipate, right, despite the difficulty of that, then in response, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes that, all right, number one, and number two, then withholds the punishment from that individual on the day of judgment. So that's a beautiful relationship. Now, it's amazing that a person can be at the brink of losing it. They're getting angry, they're getting angry, they're getting angry, they're about to scream at their spouse. At that moment where they're at the brink of losing it and they're, quote unquote, the most disconnected from Allah that they may be in the day, at that moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door. Okay, here's one more chance to turn back towards me. If at that, in the heat of that moment, you say, wait a minute, let me think about this, all right? If I withhold my anger at this moment, and I just internalize it, then, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will withhold his punishment from me on the day of judgment. I should not lose this opportunity, so I should hold back my anger. That's the second cure. That's more, and it, that also has to deal with muraqabah, because the more an individual does dhikr, the more they begin to recognize the power of Allah, the oneness of Allah, they begin to connect with Allah, that's when they become conscious of Allah. Then at that moment, when they're about to lose it, that's when they're going to have the power to wait and say, wait a minute, let me think, what's my safety at this point? Right? Every step has a safety. So what's my safety? What's going to protect me at this point from what I'm about to do? Then they should think in their mind that, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that if I withhold my anger at this point, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will withhold His punishment from me on the Day of Judgment. Now look, this hadith is so general. It doesn't say that it has to be deserved anger or undeserved anger, because sometimes somebody does something, they deserve your anger, right? But this hadith is very general. Any type of anger that an individual withholds, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will withhold His punishment from that person on the Day of Judgment. So these are the two important responses that an individual should have to their anger. Number one, be abundant in your dhikr. Never give it up. Because the day you give it up, that's the day when this thing will grow. And it's like weed, you know, once it takes root, then it's very hard to get out. So you want to be very vigilant about your dhikr. And number two is that we should be very conscious of Allah, which is basically called taqwa. Constantly recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over us, and recognizing that the way we deal with His servants is the way that we'll be dealt with. If we're forgiving, if we're overlooking, if we're willing to withhold our anger from an individual, in the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be forgiving towards us, overlooking towards us, and will also withhold His punishment from us on the Day of Judgment. So it's an excellent opportunity. In fact, people come to me and they say, I have a problem with anger. I say, you're a very lucky individual. Because you actually, through your own problem, can solve your bigger problem, which would be the Day of Judgment. Your own problem can actually become beneficial for you. Because now, if you take advantage of every time you get angry, and you learn to just control it, which is not too difficult actually, it's a very simple thing to do. If you're serious about it, it's not too difficult to control. And if you learn to control it, and you learn to hold it back, then it will actually save you on the Day of Judgment. So what was once something that was destroying the person, destroying their family, destroying their relationships with others, then becomes something that strengthens the individual and ends up producing a circumstance for them to actually be forgiven on the Day of Judgment. So we should be very, very careful about the way in which we deal with our anger, as I mentioned last week, and we should be even more careful about seeking proper solutions towards our anger. Now this is just anger, right? This is one emotion. But Allah has created many, many emotions within us. You should sit down and think sometimes, why am I becoming happy? What makes me happy? Is it the deen that makes me happy? Is it relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that makes me happy? Because actually that's why Allah created happiness. Right? And what makes me sad? Is it when something bad happens to me or my own personal loss that makes me sad? Or is it when I see that people are losing out on the remembrance of Allah, or when I see that Allah does something that perhaps distances me from closeness to Him that makes me sad? So all of these emotions that are within us, they are there for us to actually use to gauge our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the most perfect servant. The most perfect servant is the one who gauges everything about them in light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody sees with light. Some people see with the light of the dunya, they're constantly seeing, okay, here there's an opportunity to make more money, here is an opportunity to lose money, here's an opportunity to increase my name in the community or amongst people, here's an opportunity for fame, here's an opportunity to gain more something within the dunya, and that's the way they see everything. So in what is the darkness of the world, the light that guides them is the light of dunya. And there's another group of people that see everything through the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They recognize that this is a place that's treacherous for me. I should be careful how I act here. This is a place where I can gain tremendous reward. I should be energetic towards gaining that reward, etc. So actually the ball's in our court. And each of these emotions that exist are things that we should reflect upon, are states that we should be very careful about, and inshallah will actually result in our receiving particular rewards on the Day of Judgment. And you know that the famous hadith that I constantly quote has to do with love, right? Love is an emotion. It's something that Allah creates within people. And it's a natural emotion. Now some people take that love and they put it in haram places and they begin to chase things that they think really love them or really have love within them. And they end up becoming empty, but they end up doing all this haram. And there's another group of people, namely the Sahaba, who took that love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created within them and applied it to Allah and His Messenger. And that's enough to save them on the Day of Judgment, that individual. Because Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, right? Al-mar'u ma'aman ahab. That the person will be with whom he loves on the Day of Judgment. So again, it's the same thing. It all boils down to emotion. That emotion of love that Allah creates within you, where do you apply it? Do you apply it towards dunya, or do you apply it towards Allah and His Messenger? So in each case, every time there's an emotional reaction within us, we should reflect upon that emotion and use it to again reconnect ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhira da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.